Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Sal got it back on the Fan. Continuing along with your Met calls after another disappointing night. You know, like I said, if this were a loss to the Pirates or Cubs, it wouldn't be the same. The fact that this was essentially a playoff-like series taking on the hated division rival, or can I even call them division rival? Taking on the premier team in the division for years with the Braves. I mean, the Braves have won 17 titles, I think, since 1995. The Mets have won two. Last year was the Mets' year. The Braves stole it from them. And now the Mets look for a little payback with Scherzer, with Verlander on the mound. You have Max Scherzer who goes out there and actually dominates in this game. That was a dominant performance for Max Scherzer. 10 strikeouts, no walks, 5 2/3. Problem is he allowed 11 hits, even though five of them were infield hits. Still, 11 hits, 5 runs. It just can't happen. But he looked as dominant as we've seen. And it kind of just got away from him rather quickly. That's what happens when you're taking on the Braves. The Braves showed how much better they are than the Mets. And for a team with the highest payroll in Major League Baseball history, they're just not good enough. That's the bottom line. You could sit here, and we will, for the next 3 hours, discuss it and talk about what changes can be made, what they should do, how are they going to get better. They're just not good enough. There's really not much they could do. They're not as good as the Braves. That's it. Season's over. They're done. They may make the postseason. You may get excited about it and be hopeful about it. Heck, even I may get excited about it and be hopeful at some point. The reality is, you know the truth. I know the truth. And they know the truth. They're done. They're not as good as the Atlanta Braves. Bill is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Bill?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Good. Listen, I just don't know about Steve Cohen. About, you know, I think he's going to get it straight, but I just don't know why. You know, doesn't he ask why Vogelbach's still on the team or Vientos is on the bench?
I mean, I'm sure he does.
I mean, so why is it still happening? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, the Mets believe in him. The Mets front office believes in Vogel. There's got to be some reason. See, here's the hard part, Bill. I can't answer the question because I never liked the player to begin with.
Yeah, not me either.
So if I don't like him last year, and if somebody asked me why, like, why don't you like Vogelbach? Do you know what my reason would be?
Well, he, He can't do anything.
Correct. He can't do anything on the baseball field. He can't run. He can't throw. He doesn't have a position. He doesn't hit with power. And now he doesn't even hit. He can't do anything. He barely swings. He's actually been swinging the last couple of days, but he's striking out a ton anyway. So he can't do anything. So when somebody, like if it were Billy Epler or Buck or Steve Cohen, Sal, what's your issue with Vogelback? I'd be like, look, I don't know how many times I could say it. He does nothing. And then my retort or my response would be, what do you see in this guy? Please, I'm begging somebody to explain how you can justify keeping him in the lineup on a daily basis. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know how this team's going to straighten out, even next year. I mean, I don't know.
Well, next year's a totally different story. I mean, they may have Shohei Ohtani next year.
Well, even if they get him, you think Verlander and Scherzer are going to be any better?
I have no idea. No, but I think the Mets have to learn here. While they draft and develop pitching, I think the Mets have to learn that they need a better balance.
Man, we got no patience for that. Waiting for all
but that's ultimately what's going to build to sustained success, drafting and developing. So that's going to be a very important thing. In the short term, they're going to be able to go out there and spend, but I think they need to spend more on offense than they have been.
Yeah, I know, but they're stuck with those two contracts with Verlander and Scherzer. I mean, you know, everybody they got the highest payroll. But the highest payroll is because of those two guys and Cano's $20 million that's all on the books.
Oh, yeah, but that's coming off. Cano's done after this year, though.
Yeah, Cano's coming. I'm just saying. Yeah. But all that money, that's $110 million.
Well, so what about Lindor? I mean, you don't want to have dead.
We're stuck with that.
What I'm saying. So that's not going. And look, Verlander and Scherzer, and thanks for the call, Bill. Could be worse. They're only here. Scherzer's going to opt in, so he'll be here one more year. And Verlander will be here next year, and that's it. I don't think he's got the same option that Scherzer had. You know, he's older than Scherzer was at the time, certainly when they signed it, older anyway. But I'm not worried about the money with those two guys. And you could live with them in the rotation next year. You're going to need them in the rotation. The issue becomes, what are they? What did you expect them to be? What are they? And then what they will be moving forward. But next year's a whole different year. I mean, you could, let's just say, and I still stand by the fact that I think the Mets will not be outbid for Ohtani. Doesn't mean that I think they're going to get him. I just think they're not going to be outbid for Ohtani. Let's say they do get him. Now you have Ohtani in that starting rotation, and now you actually have a DH. You go from having zero DH, the worst DH, to having the best DH. And that type of impact bat that they need to go along with Lindor and Alonso in that lineup. Another year of Beatty and Alvarez developing, where next year they're not going to be rookies, and you would expect those guys to be impact players. And maybe they can make a better signing than Mark Canna or Eduardo Escobar. It's not like this team's totally, you know, a lost cause. Again, they should be a playoff team. I just look at them and say, and I knew this anyway, once Diaz went down, they're not going to win the World Series this year. They're not as good. They weren't as good as the Braves last year. That was proven in the biggest series where all they had to do was win one game and they got swept. And they're not even, the disparity is far greater than it was a year ago. The Braves have gotten better. The Mets have gotten worse. Even though the Braves aren't as good, I guess, maybe I shouldn't say they've gotten better. Because last year, they went on that incredible run. But this year, they've been more consistent. And they're probably not going to finish with 101 wins, at least I wouldn't think. You know, they did lose some key pieces, and guys are underperforming. But still, they're still better than the Mets. Far better. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Sal's team sucks.
Oh, whoa.
No, it is with the set. He's out. Before I get to all that, but look. Last year to this year, this is like, last year was like going to the club. You see that girl? Booty's looking nice.
Here we go with the analogies
face
again.
Face is looking great. You're looking like a Rihanna. And then this year, it's like you woke up the next day, the fake eyelashes off, the makeup's off. Hmm. You know, you thought you had a Rihanna, and now you got like a Felicia. And you said, who are you?
Who's Felicia?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it's probably just a
random.
You know,
yeah.
I would say the girl from Friday, you know, Black Felicia.
Yeah.
You know, got the Felicia walking out. You thought you had the Nia Long. in that video, you know?
Oh, and I love Nia Long.
I know. Yeah. He's great. Still looking good, though, after all these years.
Yeah, but, can you believe Ume Udoka cheated on Nia Long? I mean, come on.
You just had to be an ungrateful, you know, loser of a guy to do something like that, you know? But, man, you got me all off topic here. And Sal,
talking about it. You brought up Nia Long. What do you expect me to do? Let that go? Sal, I love Nia Long.
Yeah. Let me apologize to you when I said the other day, this is where you belong. You do not belong. You're too angry on this ship. I think you're better when you can go home at 2 a.m. and get some sleep.
You know,
you look sick in your stomach right now. You don't even want to, you're yelling it again. I said, this guy, man, you're getting too old.
I know what you meant, but that is, you know, when you say, oh, well, you belong on the overnights,
I didn't mean that.
I know.
It's after your shift that we're not having, like, different person every single night.
I know what you mean.
It's like the morning show. Imagine having you have Boo and Gio on Monday, and you have somebody else on Tuesday, somebody else on Wednesday. It's not consistent.
I get it. You want
it's like,
consistency.
It's like the one guy we had consistent was Fleek. He had a whole week of your shift. And it was a great week. You had all his takes throughout the week. It was a great thing to switch it every single night.
No, I get it. You want consistency. I understand that.
Yeah, but you know, you're meant to be in the daytime.
I do feel a little bit angrier on the overnights because
I think it's the lack of sleep.
Well, right. Yes, because everything is more difficult. My home life is more difficult. Yeah. It's harder to do the show because it's not just doing the show. It's staying awake and keeping energy and passion and keeping my voice. Like, there are different challenges that maybe you don't understand that I didn't understand until I've done the difference of the two. So anyway, yes, I'm a little bit more edgy. And just knowing that you're not going to get home till 6 a.m., of course.
Yeah, and then you have to deal with this now. Where it's like I'm huffing on a tailpipe out here. So, I mean, we got the chemicals
brutal
in the brain.
When is this going away? Do we know when this smoke is getting out of here?
I didn't even know this was going on till last night. I go to the store at 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and I'm like, why does it smell like a barbecue grill out here? And that's when I seen everything going on with the news and everything. And I don't know. I heard about the next couple of days it's going to linger out here.
So I can't do another day of this. Like, I feel...
They contain most of the fires, but you're in... Are you at home right now? Are you in the city?
I am in the city.
Yeah, the city's so bad. It's because all those buildings, man. It's all trapped in there.
And Long Island was bad, too. Long Island was no picnic today.
I know that. It's even bad upstate where I am, but it's because of New York City, with all those high buildings, everything's like, it gets all like trapped in there more. That's why you see how bad it looks in those pictures and everything. But, yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, I'm afraid of this stuff. I don't want to be inhaling this stuff. Like, I don't smoke. I've never smoked cigarettes. I've never done a drug in my life. I don't even like taking medicine. I don't even like taking caffeine.
They said this is like huffing. Like, if you have 24 hours, they said it's like huffing like a half a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, I don't want that in my body. I've lived my whole life, I'm 43, to avoid doing that. And now it's being forced in my body? What the hell is this?
No, I think they contain most of the fires in Canada, supposedly. But I think you're still going to be dealing with this for the weekend. So
no!
We have more time with this. And it's been dry, man. Last year was dry. This year is dry. They didn't get as much snow up there. Like, you know, upstate where I am, you do. The trees are dry, man.
Are you going to get to the Mets point at some point?
Yeah, I was going to talk about, honestly, after what Tuesday, I wanted to talk about the New Jersey again.
Oh. Yeah, and, all right, I'm ready.
That VPR thing, I got to get to that. Who's Scandoval, that guy who has the porn star, 80s porn star on Marth? That guy's a weird-looking guy. But I would have got to the New Jersey Housewives again. What are they doing? 3-4 reunions now? Like, it keeps going on.
I did see that one last night, though, Chris. And thank you for the call. I mean, we've expired here. You've had plenty of time. You want to get to something, you better get to it. And we were talking about the smoke. So that was your allotted time for the day. Give us a call back tomorrow. We'll be here same place, same time. The Real Housewives of New Jersey is great. I watched that reunion. I actually thought that reunion was better than Vanderpump last night. And I was really looking forward to the Vanderpump Rules when the third episode, Raquel finally showed her face there. Boy, is she an idiot. I mean, she just does not get it. Does not get it. She finally came clean with everything. But we all knew it. Sandoval's really a bad guy. Just a bad, bad guy. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a bad, bad guy. Oh, that's Sandoval. But the Housewives in New Jersey, Louis's the bad guy there. He's clearly the one, he's the common denominator. He's the one problem. And everybody knows it, except Teresa. And I can't believe it. What does she see in this guy? Red-faced Louis, who's getting a private investigator and causing havoc on everybody's lives here? Come on. They need to get, Andy needs to get rid of Louie and Teresa for that matter. Get them off the show. Make Melissa and Joe the stars of the show. I'm Team Gorga. Anyway, that's your Housewives and Vanderpump Rules talk for the night. Unless, of course, you want to call and talk about it. Because that's more positive than the Mets. 877-337-6666. Jason is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Sal, you're the man, brother. What's going on tonight, man?
How are you, Jason?
Listen, before I trash the Mets, you know, Macho, he should be up in heaven to give the big elbow to the Iron Sheik, my man.
No, and the Sheik's giving him a camel clutch.
Nah, that would never happen, brother. Macho would slam, then go up for the elbow, brother. Like, and you know what? The Mets need a flying elbow because you know what? I'm so sick of this ball club. I'm even getting down on Buck, man, because I can't. Every time the lineup comes out and I see Vogel fat in that line, that's what I call him. I call him Vogel fat.
Well, that's
I
don't not call nice. Him Vogel.
I tell you, Sal, I can't believe this team. I can't believe what they're doing.
Jason, if you could drop the elbow on one Met, who would it be?
Oh, no doubt about it. It'd be Daniel Vogel back. No doubt. I'd make sure I have a couple tables, a couple chairs on top of
them. See, I would. You think I could get him in the camel clutch? You know, in honor of Iron Sheik?
Yeah, I don't think so, bro. He's too fat.
Well, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's. I wouldn't even call him. I told my brother today. I sent my brother a text message. I told him, "Oh, he's fat. He never takes the shoulder off the bat off the shoulder." I made up some rhymes.
Well, you don't have to make fun of his weight. I mean, you know why? Like, because A, that's not nice, and B, it's irrelevant. Yeah. I don't care what he weighs.
No, I know. I just wish he would swing the bat. Right. I just wish he'd go up there and hit for power. What does a DH do? I'm telling you, you know what? In that Yankee funeral call before, he's going to be crying at the end of the year when the Mets sign Ohtani. Because the Yankees won't even be in the same ballpark for an awesome.
No, don't make it a Met Yankee thing. The Yankees are the dominant team in town.
I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm very disappointed.
By the way, we'll be doing that next week. A week from today, we'll be reacting to probably a Yankee sweep in the Subway Series.
Well, I don't know about that. I think if the Mets have Scherzer and Verlander on the mound, they'll be okay.
Because it's worked so well against Atlanta.
I know what you were saying, too, about Scherzer tonight. I hate his. I couldn't believe what he said after the game. I mean, if I'm him, I say, listen, I'm the ace of this team. I got to go out. I got to dominate. I got to stop this losing streak. I don't know what he was saying. Listen, he did it. He was great tonight. He had great stuff, everything. But for him to say at the end of the game when they were talking to him on SNY that he had some things, good things to take away from the game, yeah, you dominated, yeah, but you didn't dominate because you ended up giving up five runs.
Right. You said he was great, right?
You were trailing.
This is the problem, Jason. You said he was great. We said he was dominant.
Oh, my God.
He went 5 2/3, allowed 11 hits and 5 earned runs.
Yeah, he gave – and I know the five infield hits he gave up. Yeah. That goes to show kind of how dominant he was. But you got – when he's hanging the slider in the 5th and 6th inning, this is where I love Alvarez. But I think Alvarez should have came out and kind of talked to him for a minute, calmed him down and said, listen – we might have to change the approach to the slider because you're starting to hang the slider. Earlier in the game, the slider was dominant. It was moving. It was low. It was away from Acuna. He struck out Acuna twice on the slider. Slider looked great earlier in the game. But when you start getting that slider up, then he hung one again to Rosario after he gave up the 2-run home to Murphy. I couldn't believe he threw it again. I couldn't believe Alvarez asked him to throw the slider again. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what he was doing. Get away from the slider and pitch in your fastball. I don't know what he did there, Scherzer.
And Darling basically said the same thing on the SNY broadcast. He was surprised as well that Scherzer kept going
inside. What is he doing staying with the slider there? How could you stay with the slider when you just got whacked 3 times and Murphy, you know, Murphy cleaned him on the 2-run homer? And then, like I said, I know he got Rosario out, but he hung a slider to Rosario the next pitch that was hit down the line. It just hooked foul. And I was like, what is he doing? Then he came back in the 6th. He gets the first 2 outs, and then he starts hanging a slider again. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. The guy's an ace pitcher. He's one of the great pitchers of all time. How do you not make that adjustment there? And he cost the Mets a huge game.
4-1 lead.
The Mets needed to get back to 500. They needed to.
4-1 lead, Jason. As always, thank you for the passion and for the call. 4-1 lead with Max Scherzer not only on the mound, but on the mound dominating. 4-1 lead, Scherzer dominating. And then he wasn't. And then it just fell apart. And once again, they lose to the Braves. Terribly disappointed. Kevin is calling from Queens. What's up, Kev?
How you doing, Sal?
How are you, Kev?
Trying to make some moves, man.
Long time no speak. What do you mean you're trying to make some moves?
Some Uber Eats.
Oh, Uber Eats. All right. You dropping some off?
Yeah, there's no parking outside, so you're not going to be burning the gas for nothing, man.
So when you can't find parking, you just do the Uber Eats?
Of course.
What's
my move, right?
Give me, where'd you stop? Who's ordering food from where?
Everybody from Astoria.
Oh, but like from where? A specific spot? Like we like any Taco Bell orders?
Sunway, Long Island City. I go to the hotels, but,
No, but where's the food? Like, what's the good food? You got to go to, are you doing pizza? Like, what's open at 220?
Pizza, 7-Eleven, Texas Chicken.
Oh, 7-Eleven.
Everything.
Oh, okay.
McDonald's, they all open.
All right, make that money. McDonald's open at 2:30 in the morning?
Yep.
Can you get hash browns?
Some of them. Listen.
Yeah.
I know you're probably having wise Dominican baseball in the Winter League, but you know how hard it is to become an MVP as a prospect?
I don't.
Please do me a favor this year. Try to watch some Dominican baseball or Puerto Rican, whatever Caribbean baseball league you can watch.
What channel is it on?
You tell me. Yeah. How do you explain that you have this guy that can't even swing a bat, just wasting lineup time, and then you got this kid in the minors who has become an MVP in his Navy Country Baseball League a year ago.
You're talking about Mauricio?
Of course.
Hey, if you can, are you familiar with the Iron Sheik, Kev?
Of course. I was going to tell you about that. Sad for the guy. I grew up watching the Iron Sheik as a kid.
Me too. If you could put the camel clutch on any Met, who would it be?
Okay, you already know. Uncle Bogey. I'm sorry.
You think you can get on him, though? I mean, it might be tough. He's a big guy. Can you slap that camel clutch on Vogelback?
Listen, he's a sacrificial lamb over here. Listen, everybody's trying to put the blame on Buck. He's an employee. He has to follow what his bosses are telling. But we need Billy Martin. I wish he could get a page from Billy Martin book. I swear to my mother.
And do what? Kick dirt on somebody?
Kick it on somebody in the bench. Like, you son of a blade, do something. You know? Billy Martin way. Get some pages from that book, Uncle Buck.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Buck's got that in him. He's not letting it out, though, Kevin. And thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. As always, good luck with the Uber Eats. Now, all of a sudden, I'm hungry. Buck has evolved here. The game is different from when he first started out. You can't be as hard on the players. You know, the players aren't as tough as they were back then. Players are soft nowadays. And now it's about coddling guys and loving players. And remember Mickey Callaway, one of the things the Mets fell in love with him was, well, we're going to love players more than ever before. They want to love the guys and coddle them as opposed to the old school where it's like, I'm the manager. Will you get out there and go play? And you ride these guys and you're hard on these guys to try to make them better, make them tougher. So when situations come up like this against a team like the Braves, who beat you in a big spot a year ago, you're tougher and you're able to rebound and respond much stronger. And instead now it's like, oh no, we're okay, everything's good. We're a good team, our manager says so, our boss says so, I feel like we're a good team, we're a really good team. Except you kept losing to them. You keep losing to the same team. Can't be that good. I love Buck. I have not loved Buck this year. And I just can't understand what the Mets are doing with some of their roster decisions. I just can't comprehend it. There are no logical answers to what the Mets have been doing with their lineup. Now, it's not the reason why they're struggling here. There's plenty of reasons for that. But still.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Let it rip. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going to 5 a.m. The warm-up show with Al and Jerry. It's been all Mets coming off of their second straight loss to the Braves. Fifth straight loss overall. The Mets are 30-32 now on the year. Not what they paid for. Highest team, highest payroll in Major League Baseball history. And the Mets have been disappointing. Now, it is a long season. There's still 100 games left. 100 games left, to be exact. But they have played 62. So we're not, obviously, we're not halfway home yet. But they've played enough. You've had a now nice enough sample size to make an assessment of this team to date. Could things change? Absolutely. The team could look totally different in 3 weeks, in a month, in 2 weeks from now. But there's no reason, based on everything that I've seen here, to believe that this team is going anywhere of any significance this year. Maybe to the postseason, I'd still expect that to be the case. And I do think certain guys can get it turned around, but I've seen enough to know that they are nowhere near as good as the Braves. You could hope that they'll beat the Braves. They're not going to. Braves are going to win the division, and even if the Mets did make the postseason, you think they're good enough to beat the Braves? Or anybody else in the postseason for that matter? I have my doubts. So to me, this was a season-defining series, and it obviously did not go the Mets' way. And it's only been two games, but they've already lost the series no matter what. They're trying to save face and avoid embarrassment and, like, mathematically keep their hopes alive. If they lose this one, they're nine games back in the loss column. In mid-June, we're entering mid-June. Memorial Day is now come and gone. Their deficit will be bigger than the Braves' deficit last year after June 1st, when the Braves started to go on a run. Hef is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Hef?
What's up, Sal?
How are you, Hef?
I'm good, man. It's good to have you back on. I'm going to preface this with the fact that I'm really frustrated with this team, and I'll give the camel clutch to Buck or Epler or whoever's putting Vogel back there every day. But the one thing I'll say is, like, this team is not that much different than last year. In fact, I think, like, the starting lineup is better when you think it's an improvement at catcher. I'd say it's an improvement at third base. You got Alonso, Lindor, Marte, McNeil all hitting like 40 points below their career averages. Those guys are going to hit better. And even without Diaz, Robertson has done the job there. I mean, the starting pitching hasn't been good. And you got to have faith in who knows what's going to happen. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Scherzer and Verlander come through for this team. And if they do, and the other guy, blanking on his name, comes back.
Oh, Quintana?
Well, there's... Yeah, Quintana and Sanger, you got Sanger there. I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe this is a good story for the Mets. Like maybe they need a comeback story, or maybe it's good that they go in for the wild card and get things together late instead of early.
Maybe it certainly would change it up, and I wouldn't totally give up hope if I were you. I know me, I'm not getting sucked into it. I just don't believe they're good enough. And especially, you know, it's not their record right now. I think it'd be different, Hef, if we were just talking about, well, the Mets are 30-32, they've lost five straight, scuffling a little bit. It's what I've seen of them head-to-head against the Braves that has turned me off. That is what I can't tolerate anymore.
I know. They do need to make some changes, though. Like, I'm not, like, saying, like, this team, the way it is right now, is going to do it. I don't believe that. They have to, like, do something. Like, you got – why can't one of these catchers be the DH or Escobar or Vientos or the guy in the minors that you were just talking about, too? Or, like, you know, there's four other options that are better than this guy that we know that. It's
right.
Crazy.
Right. But that's only one position. Like, you mentioned you mentioned the key before. All these guys, the vets, are all having down years in comparison to their career statistics. You could live with one, maybe two of the guys doing it. You can't live with four or five of the guys doing that. So regardless of who's at DH, they need those other guys to start to produce.
Yeah. I think they should move Marte back up, too. And but you got to get production out of a DH position. You're the Mets with the most money in the major leagues, and we got this. That's crazy.
And he doesn't hit, and he provides zero flexibility. It'd be one thing. It'd be like, yo, we want guys that are flexible, but we can understand not having a guy that's flexible or versatile because he could rake. Well, Vogelbach doesn't do either. He's not flexible or versatile at all, and he doesn't rake. So why is he here?
It makes absolutely no sense.
And they keep trotting him out there, Heffin. Thank you for the call. They keep trotting him out there. I'm not sure what Buck is waiting for. What does he think? He's going to hit a home run? I mean, I'm not sure Vogelbach could hit one out of my wiffle ball field in the backyard. I don't actually have a wiffle ball field, but I felt like it was funny there. I mean, I'd love to have one. I thought about it. Love to build a legitimate wiffle ball field. You know who's got one? Taco Frank. He was sending me pictures of a sick wiffle ball field that he's built. But I would love to build even just like a pseudo. It doesn't have to be like a professional one. But just like a cool wiffle ball field to go play and invite some of my old school friends over that we used to play wiffle ball with and have a little wiffle ball party. That would be fun. But anyway, if Vogelbach came, I don't even think he could hit one out of the air. He's got no power. He can't even hit. He can't run. He can't field. Can't do anything. And Buck keeps putting him in the lineup. They keep running him out. Something's wrong. Jesse's calling from Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Sal. What's up? Oh, man. I couldn't even watch the game. I'm so sick and tired of the Mets. I went out to see the early screening of Transformers.
How was
I went
that?
Out in the, it was great. The views killed it, but it was... It was really fun. It was really enjoyable. And I enjoyed my night. I didn't get upset. I came home happy. And then I went on my internet and I checked the Mets score. And I'm like, they lost again. But I didn't get to watch it. So, you know, I didn't have to suffer.
Well, that's one way not to suffer. I myself, I was sitting at my desk at SNY. So we had two TVs. And I had the Mets on one and Vanderpump Rules on the other. And once Vanderpump Rules started, I turned, put the little mute button on. The Mets were down at that point anyway, I think. And I got into Vanderpump Rules, kind of a little healthy distraction for me. You know what I mean?
So the Mets are a joke. I mean, no other team would keep running the same lineup out, doing the same things over and over when it's not working. Can you see the Braves doing this? So they had a player that's not hitting, just running him out every day. No other team does this. I don't understand. It has to be their joke, or they don't care, or I don't know what's up. And also, the Braves punched them out last year, and they never got up. I mean, that tells you a lot about their character.
Right. That's my biggest issue with this team. Because to the previous caller's point, Hef was saying, like a lot of these guys, you expect Lindor will get better. Marte will get better. McNeil, Alonso, they will get better as far as getting that average going. But they're soft. They are soft as a team after what happened last year. And I think that is a major problem for this group.
That falls on the leadership on Buck. And I'm sorry, but from what Buck is showing, maybe it's passed, you know, this game has passed them by. Because where's that fire? Why is he even getting angry and telling what the hell is going on?
Yeah, he doesn't get angry. Not even at the umps. I mean, occasionally he'll get mad, but he doesn't even get thrown out of these games.
What happened to Buck? Because I remember him to be more fiery when he was with the Yankees and other teams. I don't understand. It's like It's like he's just like a senior citizen now.
I'm not going to go there. Buck is a brilliant baseball man. He's not going to have the best personality. He's not going to be, you know, although he's been very warm and kind, it seems, with the players. But he's not going to be lovey-dovey and, you know, have that warm personality, I don't think, even though he does try to joke around. He's definitely old school, but he is the smartest guy in baseball, and that's what you get when you hire him as a manager. He's a real manager. However, it's not working this year, and I can't understand why he continues to run Vogelbach out there, amongst other things.
Something's wrong, and something has to be done because this is going to continue. There's no hope. Like you said, the season's over. They give no evidence to put hope into this team because it's the same thing over and over.
They're done. I feel confident, and thank you for the call, Jesse. I was very confident and very supportive of this team a year ago. I believed in them. I believed they were good. I believed they were better than the Braves. Now, I was right that they were good. I was wrong believing that they were better than the Braves. This year, they're going to have to prove me wrong. The Braves did it last year by shutting me up, going out there and winning the division after I said it was over. Well, I said the Mets season is done. Prove me wrong. I'm pretty confident they're not capable of it. They don't have the guts. They don't have the sack to prove me wrong. The Braves did it. They shut me up. And I'm not saying like me specifically, but my thought is that this team is done. Prove me wrong. Shut me up. Let's see what they're made of. Prove your doubters wrong. I'm going based off of what I see. Joe is calling from Belmore. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, what's up, Sal?
How are you, Joe?
I was just wondering, why were you down here when everyone was at DJ's a couple weeks ago?
Why was I what?
You weren't down here a couple weeks ago, weren't you, when everyone was at DJ's?
I was not. No, I had to work that night. I was not invited, number one. Number two, I had to work.
Really?
So I'm assuming that that's part of it, yeah. Well, I mean, only... To my knowledge, only the shows that were going to be on during the day were the ones that were supposed to be there. So other people may have shown up, but unless you were doing the morning show, the day part shows.
I just want to touch on a few things. It's just there's just no accountability on this team, and I think it just starts up top. I mean, listen, everyone praises Steve Cohen, but it's just like, what has changed? I mean, what's money if you don't know how to spend it, man? I don't know why he's not saying anything. I feel like he has to come out and like make a statement at this point. Like, this is just, I'm at a loss of words, Sal. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there needs to be someone held accountable.
Right. But I don't know what are we talking about? Do you going to hold Daniel Vogelbach accountable?
Epler.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen with Epler? And what do you think is going to happen with Bug? Nothing. They're not going to. And maybe Buck eventually, let's say the Mets lost 10 in a row. I mean, I guess you could see a scenario where he might get, you know, maybe they make a change there. Even that, though, I wouldn't think is going to be the case. Epler's not going anywhere.
Well, everyone keeps talking about what the Phillies did last year, and maybe we could go the same path. But, you know,
I understand that. Look, put it this way. I hate to see that happen. I do think that if we're a ways away from that, but I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibilities. If the Mets struggle and say they get to double-digit games out of first, they get to double-digit games under 500, you might see a change of manager.
Yeah, I mean, people say, you know, how the Braves came back last year. That's not even remotely close to how it is this year. We're under 500 at this point in comparison to what the standings were last year. And I don't see maybe we'll sneak into the wild card. The division's all but over, and it really is. I know everyone makes a joke about what you said last year, but, you know, this team's not that good. And we can maybe sneak in the wild card, in my opinion, but we need someone to step up, especially in the rotation.
Well, I mean, look, they should still be able, Joe, to make the wild card. I mean, and that gives you hope. And then here's what's going to happen. It's going to be a battle the rest of the way for a playoff spot. If they get in, everyone's going to see, all you have to do is get in, and then they're going to paint the picture of, well, now you have Scherzer and Verlander in the postseason. This is what you wanted. This is what the Mets could do, blah, 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 blah. But the real ones, we know the reality of the situation. They're not good enough. So it's just, I don't care. As currently constructed, now maybe they make some moves here in the coming weeks or coming months before the deadline that changes things. But as of right now, I don't care if they're in the postseason or not. They're not doing anything with it. They're not good enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, thank you for the call, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. And I appreciate you asking where I was at that DJ's thing. But like I said, it was really for the day part shows. So I'm pretty sure I was – oh, yeah, I did the show from home, but it was that Friday night as I was still in for Keith. Plus, I mean, I'm not dealing with that traffic on a Friday going to Jersey, being from Long Island. They would have to ask me to go. I'm not going to go down on my own, even if I was available. Mike is calling from Patchogue. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? How we doing?
How are you, Mike?
Good, man. Thank you. I don't know why I'm a pessimist with the Mets fan, big Mets fan, but I'm such a pessimist. And I think a lot of it comes down to there's no swagger on this team at all, man. They're just a bunch of cornball softies.
I don't know. Where are you getting the cornball? Softies, yes. I mean, which one's cornball?
Like, Alonzo's so corny. McNeil is like a crybaby. Every time I look at him, he just bothers me. Even though he gets hits, I know he does his job. He hasn't, though.
McNeil has not done his job this year.
No. He hasn't. But, you know, I really feel like if anybody is capable of getting hits and getting on base and doing his thing, it's McNeil. But I just can't stand to look at him. And like you said, you're watching the games. I'm doing the eye test. I have no confidence in this team. The guy with the most swagger and, like, confidence on this team is Marte, but he's old and losing it. We have a bunch of just...
Alvarez is going to take that over.
I totally agree with that. That was my next point. Alvarez has that little swagger coming out, but I think, like you said, hopefully Mauricio and Vientos, if they ever get a chance to play in a game this year, you know, they can carry that torch a little bit and give the Mets a little bit of swagger. It's just, you know, you watch the guy, the kid from Cincinnati, who I called up, you know, Ellie Cruz, De La Cruz tonight.
Yeah, he hit a bomb and then that triple.
Absolute bomb. It electrifies the team. Like, you hope, you know, the kids, I guess you could say, electrify this team, but it's contagious, and they just don't have it right now. And just watching the game, I have no confidence in any kind of lead ever.
And that's why it's hard to put a – and I think you're right, Mike, and thank you for the call. You know, and I was going to say, you know, who's a cornball? I don't know where you're getting that. You're right about McNeil a little bit. He's – you know, I hate the – he doesn't get it done. Obviously, Vogelback, too, the same thing. Every pitch – Vogelback takes, he's always shaking his head. Shaking his head, going back to the dugout. With McNeil, no matter what result, fly out, ground out, whatever, he's always slamming his helmet down to the ground like he should get a hit every single time up. And again, I like McNeil, but he's in a little bit of a funk. He's hitting 277. If Jeff McNeil is not hitting 300, you're in trouble because he doesn't hit with any power whatsoever. No extra base hits, not going to be a home run guy. He's got to be hitting over 300. Lindor, I like, and I think he's got some inner confidence, but you don't see that outright. I don't know. It just feels different from the Braves, where the Braves expect to get the job done. A lot of the Mets hope to get the job done. It's a big difference. And Alvarez is that one guy. Alvarez, Scherzer, Verlander. I mean, I guess you could throw in even David Robertson. Those guys are confident. Those guys are the confident guys with swag or whatever. Man, they're missing something. Rob is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Sal. What's going on, brother?
How are you, Rob?
Pretty good. Yeah. It's another back-to-back disappointing end in Atlanta. Same Mario blown 3-1 leads back-to-back games.
4-1. Yeah, right. 3-run leads. Terrible.
Yeah, terrible. And not to mention, on both, you have Carrasco and Scherzer actually pitching well up until the sixth inning. But my main thing I got out of tonight was when Alonso got hurt, I thought that would have been a perfect time for Vientos to get in, at least play from first base. I don't know what Buck has against him. What's going on with that?
I don't know. I don't think Buck likes him for whatever reason. I'm not sure if Buck likes him. I mean, I haven't heard it from Buck himself, but I think it's obvious with the way that he's using him or lack thereof. I thought the same thing. Oh, it's going to be the Mark Vientos game. Now Tommy Pham got in there, and obviously Pham had a big impact on the game, so it was the right move. But you just wonder why, You know, the Mets got two guys that are useless on their roster right now. One they make useless, and the other is useless, and that's Vogelbach and Vientos.
Yeah, Vogelbach. It's just a beat thing with the beat drum with Vogelbach. Everyone else with Vogelbach. But my suggestion maybe also is maybe they could, if I know Marte's starting to hit a little bit, maybe drop him to nine, make him like another leadoff hitter, swing back around, give if nothing else some speed. And who knows what's going to happen with Vogelbach. We're all just so sick of Vogelbach. Like I said, it's just a repetition.
Beating the dead horse. No, I get it. It's not about Vogelbach. It's just the one clear thing that you can't comprehend. Why the Mets have him in the lineup, why the Mets have him on the roster at this point, and why the Mets don't play Vientos, why the Mets are part-timing Alvarez as opposed to making him the regular catcher. They need to clean things up, trim the fat, clean things up, be more clear and decisive here with this team moving forward, because obviously whatever they're doing isn't working.
Would you have been okay? I think it was a couple of days ago. I don't know if it was you or somebody else. I would have been fine with three catchers, too, as long as Nito stays the third and have either Alvarez or the other guy, Narvaez, DH. And then just DFA Vogelbach, if anybody wanted him or not.
Right.
He just needs to go.
Right. I would have been okay with that. I'm not going to miss Tomas Nito, but it would have given flexibility, and thank you for the call, Rob. It would have given them flexibility to be able to have one of the catchers DH without any worry. And maybe the better move would have been to keep Gary Sanchez, send down or just DFA Vogelbach, or even send down Vientos. If you're not going to use him, keep Gary Sanchez, send Vientos down, and just make Sanchez the DH. That's all. Not catch at all, because I think the big reason why the Mets moved on from Sanchez was that nobody wanted to throw to him. Terrible catcher. John is in Queens. What's up, John?
Yeah, Sal, thank you for taking my call. I got the same complaint. I just want to complain about you-know-who, Vogelbach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 79 years old. I'll probably never see another World Series from the Mets anyway. But besides that, the man is not versatile. I mean, I watch him every night on television. I don't understand what he's doing on the team. First of all, if I was a Major League Baseball player, I would be ashamed to come up and strike out three or four times and pop up. And I mean, I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. There's no logical explanation for why Daniel Vogelbach is A, in the Major Leagues, and B, even worse, in the Mets lineup.
Even if they don't win another game, please get him off the team. And the more Mets fans that call up and complain about him, maybe Steve Cohen will hear it, and they'll probably do something about it.
The best way, and thank you for the call, John, the best way to put it, and I keep saying it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant move. But Fleegs put it very well before, that the ceiling with Vogelbach isn't worth keeping him around. Like, max for him is what? He's going to get on base a little bit more. He's going to maybe hit a couple in the gap. Maybe hit a couple over the fence. Like, we're talking about what? A 10 home run season? What's max Daniel Vogelbach? It's not worth keeping him on. The reason why you stick with guys and you give guys an opportunity is because you believe they're going to perform up to their standards eventually. Like, Jeff McNeil is eventually going to start hitting 300, you would think. Or Lindor, you keep him in there, you hope he's going to get it going. Or Marte, whatever. And so on. You believe these guys are going to play up to whatever their career numbers are. Well, with Vogelbach, he doesn't do anything. Even if he does play up to his, best ability, it's still not good enough. And it certainly doesn't warrant taking up a roster spot when you can't do anything else.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches?
Ah.
Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.